Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Welcome to the Hollywood Casino Press Box with your host, Frank Cusimano.
Here's the pitch. Line drive, there it is! Into left field! It's number 3,000! A run is scored! Musial ran first! On his way to second with a double!
The best interviews and the most informed insight.
And that's McGaffey breaking free, has a seam, and a crease! The kicker can't trip him up! Headed for the end zone! Will it be back-to-back weeks? Yes!
All tied together with the experience of over 20 years of local broadcasting excellence in St. Louis.
Now Stasny gets away from a check to Fabry. Wide open. Brower. Rebound. He scores. Trent Brower. The former block off has given the Blues a 3-2 lead.
Now, here is Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Good morning and welcome. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Frank Cusimano with you until 12 o'clock, and we got a good one lined up today for you. Paul Goldschmidt is the major topic, of course, so we'll talk about that with Rob Raines at 10:30 and Phil Rogers from MLB at 11 o'clock. At 10:45, we're going to be joined by arguably the greatest Blues goaltender of all time. He is the one and only Curtis Joseph, who has written an incredible book about his life. The Mike Keenan stories are sensational. The Shovel Day fight. It's going to be a wonderful interview, I'm sure. 11:20, Konzo Martin is going to join us. His Missouri Tigers may be a little bit better than people think. And then at 11:45, we're going to have two attorneys in the studio. The two attorneys who were victorious against the St. Louis Rams in the PSL lawsuit. And we're excited about that. If you'd like to be a part of the program, you can do so. We have the Maryville University phone lines, and then we also have the Winning Streak text lines. So come on aboard. We got much to discuss. Our opening monologue is brought to you by Gateway Motorsports Park, and let's begin with lap one. Paul Goldschmidt. It has happened. And this is how it may sound this season.
Goldie gets one in the air. Oh. Fly ball. Left field. There it goes. And we're tied.
Do you remember the old Bonnie Tyler song?
Gets one high in the air. Deep right field. Gone.
So do you remember the old Bonnie Tyler song, Holding Out for a Hero? The Cardinals have been looking a long time for a hero, a genuine superstar. And they have finally acquired a face of the franchise player in Paul Goldschmidt. In exchange, they give up Luke Weaver, maybe their 10th starter, Carson Kelly, who wasn't going to play for a couple of years, a minor leaguer, who's a good one, Andy Young, and a draft pick. That doesn't seem like a whole lot. I mean, we were thinking Dakota Hudson, Tyler O'Neill, maybe Colton Wong. Instead, you give up guys who were not going to have an impact next year on the Major League club. And the 31-year-old Goldschmidt has been a National League All-Star last six seasons. Last season, after a brutal beginning, he still finished sixth in the MVP, and he had 33 homers. We're talking about a guy with a nearly 400 career on base. And over the last 6 years, he's second in the National League in homers, RBIs, walks, runs, hits, and extra base hits. And he's a Gold Glover. He's a Gold Glover. I was talking to the commissioner about it last night. He said, you just think of all the errors the Cardinal infield has had for years now. And it's not just the first baseman making errors. It's the second baseman, the shortstop, and the third baseman. And he will now play a role in reducing all of their errors, in addition to having fewer errors at first base. So he's been underpaid, but he won't be underappreciated here when he gets to St. Louis. They're getting one of the premier hitters in baseball who happens to be a Gold Glover. When's the last time the Cardinals have had a truly dynamic offensive player who was also a multiple Gold Glove Award winner? We're talking Jim Edmonds and Scott Rolen, I think. I mean, Pujols won one, but I wouldn't call him a star defensive player.
Albert won, actually, two Gold Gloves.
Two?
Yeah.
Okay. Think about this, too. And Brian had this stat. Over the last 6 years, only two players have had a higher on-base and slugging percentage. I mean, translated, this is a rare blend of a player who draws walks, hits for average, and hits for power. So he's only signed through this year, and he needs to fall in love with our town quickly. He really does. Let's go to lap two. Billikens. Wow. They have to be the most offensively challenged 6-2 team in America. First credit SIU. They play great defense. Barry Hinson's teams always do. And then they have this Teak Bull from Sudan. He's only 6'8". He's not like Manute Bull. But man, was he blocking shots. I think he had 5 last night. And he affected about 10 others. But let's not bury the lead. SLU has offensive issues. They shot 33% from the field. And when they run into a team that really defends and has scouted them well, well, they're in for a battle. They really are. And, you know, they have so many players who do so many things really well, but they also have the common denominator just not being great shooters, like Jordan Goodwin, who's a terrific player, and Fred Thatch, who's a really good player too, but they just don't knock down shots, and those guys are playing your two-guard position a lot of the time. You want them on your team. They do everything great except shoot it. I got to tell you, they need this transfer, Deion Wiley, to get healthy and make shots. He's a big-time shooter, but he's not healthy. And he wasn't there last night. And, man, SLU's going to see zones. They're going to see these packed-in defenses. And they're going to have coaches on the other sideline saying, here's a 22-footer. If you make it, you win. Oregon State will be a great test on Sunday. Barry Hinson, after the game, is always entertaining.
The only way they were scoring was on the they had the walk-in three that Goodwin made. We knew it. We said it all along. I told you guys it was going to be ugly and it was going to be a slugfest. It was exactly what I thought. I was really disappointed how we ended the game, but I'm not going to be disappointed with beating a team as good as St. Louis, and I'm going to let that stuff go, and we'll get ready for a SEMO.
Yeah, they could not make free throws either. SIU should have put that game away, and SLU almost won the game later, or could have tied it late. So, disappointing night for SLU, a nice victory for Barry Hinson and the Salukis. Lap three. The Blues. Brutal. Edmonton is 5-2-1 under Ken Hitchcock. And they came in with the best player in the world, or arguably, in Connor McDavid. And you had the game won until the final minute.
Taken back along again by Dreisaitl, gets it behind to Kara. Kara got it on to McDavid and then to the back. Slap ball again. Score! Tie game!
Wow. Blues played solid, though. They're just snake-bitten. They find a way to lose. You know, Joey Vitale said something before the game about having a guy like Chris Butler, replacing Alex Pietrangelo. And he said, you know what? Butler's just going to be steady. He's not going to make mistakes. He's going to do good things for the Blues. And I thought he played well last night. He was right. It also helps that Jake Allen was pretty good in goal. Maybe he was fired up with Ken Hitchcock in the house. I don't think those two got along great, especially at the end. But it's a brutal loss. You had the game won. Had a chance to pick up the 2 points. And now you lose and head to Winnipeg. Let's hear from Craig Berube.
We got caught in a three-quarter ice game there. Just stopped making plays. And when you stop making plays, you get the puck out. They just pound it back in and coming at us. That's their game, too. So we fed into that in a second for sure.
So what do you think? Thoughts on the Blues? Come on aboard. Lap four. Barry Odom's week continues. It wasn't enough to just get a star quarterback and a talented wide receiver. Now he gets a contract extension and a raise. It's through 2024. It's a bump to $3 million. That's fair. Not crazy money, but it's good. It's a reward. for 8, maybe 9 wins. Remember, after he beats Oklahoma State, it's going to be 20 wins in his first 3 years. Gary Pinkel had 17. And I know Pinkel, when he came to Columbia, didn't exactly inherit Ohio State's roster. But Odom came and inherited a mess, that protest thing. A lot of upset alumni. The recruiting wasn't great at the end for Pinkel. And now he's going to have 20 wins in his first 3 years. And Gary Pinkel had 17. So I like the move. I like the contract extension and the raise. And as I mentioned, Odom was in 4 different states yesterday recruiting. Now it helps you have a private plane, but still, that's working. He told me, "I will not be outworked in the recruitment of Kelly Bryant," and he wasn't. That's why he got him. And he hit the ground burning rubber the next day. Here's one thing I think that a lot of people don't realize that's a strength of his. I mean, is he the greatest offensive mind? Is he the greatest defensive mind? I don't know. But players want to play for Barry Odom. Howard Richards was with us yesterday.
If you want to know how much players really respect him, go back to the day that he was named Missouri's football coach.
Yeah.
Remember that video?
People have made fun of that.
Have you ever seen players react that way to I've never seen it. I've never seen that before. I think that was where it was.
Finally, the Mac Rhodes era has a moment we can point to that stands out. Yeah.
Maybe you look at it as a crapshoot in some ways, but you know, I think it has turned out ultimately to be a really good move.
Yeah, it's interesting because I've heard people be critical. Oh, that's not professional and everything. No, I think it's symbolic of the way players feel about Barry Odom. And it's not like these guys are walking all over him. You know, it's not like this, you know, like a loose atmosphere where the players run things. No, Odom's in charge and everybody knows that. I tell you, the best answer I got from Drew Locke last Friday was, you know, I know how much my coach cares about me and I really want to win for him. And then, you know, right after we did the interview, Locke walked into coach's office and they hugged each other like they were brothers. Players like Barry Odom, but don't minimize that. That's important. It really is. Now you could say, well, are they hugging Nick Saban? No, but nobody's Nick Saban. All right, let me get back to the Cardinals situation for Lap 5. Derek Gould covers them extremely well, and I really wanted to hear what he had to say about the move.
Here's how it plays out from here. Is they got the guy that they chased after this week, and they got him at $14.5 million, a player who, you know, if he's at his best, is going to provide $35 million-like production, okay? So they are freed up and can be more aggressive with spending on the lefty reliever. They can go after the top-shelf lefty relievers that are out there and look at the years there. They can also stay involved if at the periphery of the players that you're talking about, Kat. I mean, look, Boris is going to continue to engage the Cardinals. First of all, he represents Zach Britton. But he also has, you know, Mike Moustakas and, yes, Harper. And the benefit of having the Cardinals involved in those talks is obvious to the agent. The benefit for the Cardinals to stay involved in those things is at least they're aware of the market and they understand that if there's an opportunity, if there's a fit, then they know to make other moves to clear the way and then be more aggressive on that front. They're going to go basically to the periphery, not really go chasing after, say, Harper. But to speak in declaratives like they're out on Harper, they're not taking Boris's phone call on Harper, that's a little premature.
So where do you go from here? I think that Moustakas is still in play there. Do you sign Moustakas and move Matt Carpenter for a nice piece? Do you sign Moustakas and play Carpenter at second and move Wong? Do you think your everyday eight is fine right now offensively? And let's just make it the best damn bullpen in baseball. And you get both Zach Britton and Andrew Miller. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine if you got them both? That's what Mike Claiborne and I were discussing last night late. Get them both. Among relievers, Miller has the second lowest whip since 2014. It's .858. And now we know he's coming off a down year, but he'll be just fine, I'm sure. And then Britton has a 1.86 ERA the last 3 years. Can you imagine if he got them both? And remember, you know, you really haven't spent that much money. The Goldschmidt contract is 1 year and not expensive, $14.5 million. So what is your next move? Get them both. With that starting staff and a knockout bullpen and a solid offense now, that's pretty good. Thoughts? Come on aboard. Maryville University listener line, 855-282-8255. Maryville has a digital world program providing students with free iPads loaded with textbooks and more than 150 apps. Go to maryville.edu for more information. Lap 6. So the XFL will be here in 2020. It's not the greatest thing in the world, but I got to tell you, it's 5 games a year. Maybe some interesting players. Maybe some players with some local interest. I'll take it. They're looking for a head coach. Oliver Luck, the commissioner, is actually going to pick the head coach. And, you know, each team is owned by Vince McMahon. So I think it's really important, especially in our city, to go local. I wonder if Gary Pinkel's health's okay. I wonder if he'd like to take on something like this. Or a Dick Vermeil. I doubt it. Local players would be fun. So I think it's fine. It'll be more interesting than not having it. All right. Let's see. Few more nuggets here. I think yesterday, guys, from 4 o'clock till 10:30, I mentioned the name Goldschmidt on the air on television at least 20 times. You know, hits in the newscast, hits in sports, at least 20 times. So I get home last night at about 10:45, and I asked Monique if she watched any of the shows. She said yes. I said, okay, what did I talk about? And she said the Cardinals signed somebody named Gold something. That is an astute baseball fan. Gold something. How does it get any better for Fox 2 tonight? Titans and Jags. Hope it's a 3-3 game that goes to overtime. Who in their right mind would watch that unless you had a fantasy player?
I want to hear Martin really pump up that game today.
But if you're in the fantasy playoffs, which that's usually when it starts about this week or next week, what... If you're in the playoffs, you probably don't have many.
Yeah, you don't. Who would have the Jags? Who would have Marcus Mariota as their quarterback?
Although waiver wire pickups for either defense might be an option since.
Yeah, the Jags defense probably wouldn't be terrible. But this is a terrible game. This is brutal.
Perfect lead in for those 11 o'clock Fox.
Yeah.
Fox News.
The only thing I'm hoping for is overtime. Like a 3-3 game and then have it end in a tie. And then let's go back to Joe Buck and. You know, Troy Aikman for some thoughts.
Four
after the game.
Replays, right. Four yes. Different minute, 2 minute long replays.
So many young players involved, and you know the Jaguars probably got to look in the draft for their next quarterback. I'm thinking maybe a post game hit by Dave Wannstedt to talk about some of the college quarterbacks who might be available in the draft.
Or yeah, bowl game,
lightning
matchup.
Delay, right,
Liberty
yeah.
Bowl,
lightning delay for 45 minutes.
Wow,
game wraps up about 1:30.
Gosh. All right, those are some of my thoughts. Let's hear some of yours. First question on the text line. On a 1 to 10, your score on the trade. So the first thing I want to see on every text coming in on the winning streak text line, 855-282-8255, is a number. 1 to 10. What do you guys give it on a 1 to 10?
I would have gave it a 10 in July if we made this at the deadline with 50 or 60 games of Goldschmidt. So I think this is a 1,000. I mean, there's no – I mean, Weaver was an afterthought, and Kelly wouldn't even be playing for 2 more years.
So you're giving it 1,000 on a 1 to 10.
Oh, it's I don't know if anybody can give it a
9 today. This is different.
If anybody can give it less than a 9, I would like to understand why, you know?
So yeah.
I don't know. I give it at least a 10 for sure.
Yeah, I think it's a 9. I think the only reason it's not a 10 is it is 1 year. This had come with, I know Nightingale was talking about yesterday how the Cardinals weren't granted that 72-hour extension window. If you had given up players who are boxed in this year and one who we don't know about for Paul Goldschmidt plus an extension, then it's a coup. But no one's complaining about, you know, the only thing now is you don't have a backup catcher. That's it. That's truly the one deficiency that this trade causes. And you can easily sign one who will be made available and maybe even just bring back Pena, who is a free agent. Like, that's it.
I think Pena's not bad because it's good for Yadier's psyche. They get along great, and he is a wonderful guy, too. So
yeah, and that's it. I mean, Weaver, we had higher hopes entering last season, but he never developed that third pitch. And Dakota Hudson, Austin Gomber, they had risen above him.
Yeah.
And you said he was like 9th or 10th on your list of starting pitchers, probably around there with Adam Wainwright, who you would consider on your depth chart.
What if in about 2 years, like, Weaver develops into like a 16-game winner and Carson Kelly an all-star catcher?
I mean, good for him if they do that. But if that's also, you still have Paul Goldschmidt and he's the player you think you traded for, I think you're okay with that.
All right, the next number I want on the text line, just another number, the Blues season on a 1 to 10. I give the trade, I'm going to say 10. Brian, we have two 10s. We got 10, 1,000, and a 9.
Yeah.
Blues season on a 1 to 10.
Oh, God. 2?
I think that's a perfect number.
2 maybe becomes a 4 or 5 if they bring Q on board, and I can look forward to
that. I think it's not a 1 because you have the bright spot of Brian O'Reilly. He's playing unbelievable.
He is great.
So you can't put it at a 1. I think a 2 is just about perfect and miserable.
And the Billikens, are they an NCAA tourney team? We'll see about that.
Oof. It's just hard to win games when you're not going to score more than 60 points.
Yeah.
Consistently. That's tough.
They get Wiley back, and that'll hopefully change some things. We'll take a short timeout. If you'd like to be a part of the program, Maryville University listener line, 855-282-8255. Winning streak text line, 855-282-8255. Gatesworth is one of our great sponsors. They're having a big Christmas party tonight. I'm going to try to get over there for lunch today, too. It's just a great place to go. We know my mom is really happy to be there. They treat her well. There's so many activities, swimming pools and workout facilities and movies and live concerts. They just do a great job at the Gatesworth. We'll take a short time out. Hardcore baseball conversation with Rob Raines.